I mark July as the new year of the church. The regular year that the world takes is, of course, January, the calendar year. But I, maybe because I have been involved with these campus work for too long, we mark our church year usually by July. So after the summer training, our new year begins. So this is the beginning of a new year. In this first session, I still, because we need to take care of this matter of the family training, and you have the some material on your chairs, we're going to use the first session to cover this family training for the month of August, because in month of August we're going to resume this family training. And then the next two sessions, I would like to speak something more in a directional way regarding our going on in Northern Cal. And there are quite a number of things we'd like to cover, both regarding the churches, how the churches should go on, and also concerning our work in this region, how we should go on. Now, we have started this so-called family training in Q2, I think, the second quarter of this year. And actually, we have not planned it that way. I have a whole set of outlines with 36 lessons on something called Lessons for the Proper Church Life. And after we got into lesson one, I realized I have to put it aside. Because, not because they are bad, but because the inward feeling is, based on lesson one, is there's a, how should I say, there is a perceived need of the churches, in my view, that render some of those many other lessons in that set of outlines not entirely appropriate for this time. And let me tell you what that is. You see, right, the church, according to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, is the house, the church of the living God. Am I right? The church of the living God and the pillar and base of the truth or of the reality. So just by that verse, we realize that the two fundamental things related to the Lord's church are life and truth. Life and truth. Those are the unchanging basis or base of God's church. And so in our church life today, in our practice of the church, these two things are the most essential. Of course, we have the service of the church, we have the gospel, we have other items, important items, but nothing can replace these two things, life and truth. And at least in this verse in 1 Timothy 3, 15 or something like this, life was mentioned first, and then the truth. Now, in various places, Brother Lee, the ministry, would put truth first and then life. The truth, the Word of God, is the first thing. Based on that, it's life. But elsewhere, including this verse, and in some other speaking by Brother Lee, he would put life first and then truth. whatever the case may be, brothers, my perception, my feeling of the Lord's recovery today, by that I don't mean globally, I mean among us. I feel today, relatively speaking, we have the truth. In fact, our truth is of the highest order. In fact, we have arrived at the high peak of the divine revelation, right? I think no one can argue with that. These trainings that we have and these conferences that we have, the truth is just abundant in our midst. Brother Nee said the brethren, you know, the British brethren 2 centuries ago had sort of arrived at a certain kind of a peak. He said the light and truth is like the Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls. You read not only Darby, you read William Kelly. Kelly has more books than Darby. Someone actually commented that Kelly has the mind of an ocean, you know, of an ocean. He's not as well known as Darby, but actually his output is even more, in a way, more prolific. Now, but today, brothers, would you not agree with me that the truth that the Lord has graciously given to his recovery in these last almost 100 years is higher? Would you not agree with me? I would say much higher, much higher. And at the end, the revelation reached all the way to the end of Revelation. The whole Bible is open up to us. No one ever, I'm not even sure, for sure even Paul didn't do it. Because when John wrote Revelation, Paul was already dead. You know? So John saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, right? But do you believe there's any person in these last 2,000 years since John wrote the book of Revelation that who interpreted the New Jerusalem as Brother Lee did? Even Brother Watchman Nee didn't do it. You read Brother Watchman Nee. You read his collected works. Somewhat Brother Nee still believed that is a physical city. And that is one point that Brother Lee did not agree with Brother Nee. It's a physical city. And most people today think that way. You know, they call it heaven, whatever you call it. But Brother Lee's interpretation, according to the book of Revelation, is according to the word sign. That the whole book of Revelation is a book of signs, beginning with the 7 golden lampstands and ending with the New Jerusalem. These are signs, meaning they are not physical. Is the church a physical lampstand? No, right? It is a spiritual lampstand. So according to that consistent principle, the holy city cannot be a physical city, but a spiritual city. It is a sign, and by that way, Brother Lee interpreted it. And my goodness, today, you know, we have a class in the full-time training called the New Jerusalem. By the way, I have never taken that class, even I'm not trained, you know. But I think that is for 1 year, right? It's not 2 years. Year two, second year. So I think, you see, many of us really need to go to the full-time training. At least take that class on the New Jerusalem. if you study that with all the best material from the ministry, brothers, you will be just, your jaw will drop, to say the very least. You read, you know, there's a book, you know, one of the best interpretation of this is in the book God's New Testament Economy. Almost half of that book is on the New Jerusalem in detail. Then one of the last speaking by Brother Lee in the 90s is on what? The interpretation of the, application of an interpretation of the New Jerusalem for the seeking believers. It's kind of a short book, but you better go and study it. And now we realize the New Jerusalem is the harvest of all the revelations that have gone before, starting with Genesis. And without the New Jerusalem, there would be no consummation of the divine revelation. There would be no harvesting. So God's consummation, man's consummation, Christ's consummation, the Spirit's consummation, life's consummation, the kingdom's consummation, the believer's consummation, the church's consummation, the body's consummation, are all the New Jerusalem. And that's why at the end, Brother Lee said this. He said, if you ask me what my ministry is about, my ministry is ultimately about the New Jerusalem. His whole ministry is to consummate that. And that's why he charged us. We have to live out the New Jerusalem and work out the New Jerusalem. It is not some city that we're going to enter into one day objectively, much less physically. But it is something that we are building today. Right? So this is a point. I want to show you the truth that we have among us. It is incredible. But my perception, brothers, is this. While we have this high peak truth, our on the life side, the life of the local churches does not measure up or compare with the truth side. Or we are short. We are short. And so because of that, our testimony, the testimony of Jesus among us, has a deficit, has a very real deficit on the side of life. When Brother Lee came to this country in the 60s, he spoke a lot of truth. But the stress in those years was life. Spirit and life, I should say. Spirit and life. And some of us who were in those years receive the benefit from that kind of stress and emphasis. Then I would say, when he started the life studies. By the way, I always remind people it's called the life studies. The emphasis is still life. Still life. Today, if you read the life studies, you can almost turn to any page. Life will ooze out. You will not just touch knowledge or truth per se. You actually receive life and life supply. Amen. That's the beauty of these studies. But it was in the 80s, Brother Lee, in part due to the attack and the opposition, starting in the 70s and into the 80s. Basically trying to undermine us, calling us heresy, things such as Christ is the Spirit, right? That the Son is the Father, the whole matter of the Trinity, and all of this because of the deep diving into these things in order to counter the opposition, there was a kind of a turn to emphasize the truth. and rightly so. So in the 80s, Brother Lee's emphasis was very much the truth. And the recovery version came out, you see, with all the footnotes, the life studies were being printed, and Brother Lee charged us to have to study the truth. And that truth is important because it is the base and pillar. The church is the base and pillar of that truth or that reality. So we emphasize that. But, of course, in the middle of the 80s, Brother Lee being a most balanced person and minister, he really began to stress very much the practice. The practice is the God-ordained way practice in the 80s, you see. But even when he went back to Taiwan and spoke about the practice, you go and study some of the messages he gave. Still, underlying a lot of speaking, he was still on the truth. But you know what he told us? When it comes to speaking the truth, he did it better in English than in Chinese. He said, it's hard for me to speak the truth so accurately in Chinese. In life, it's okay because of the idiom, because of, you know what I mean. But when it comes to the accuracy of the truth, Brother Lee would use English. So he released the truth more here than in Taiwan. You go back and look, take a look. And when he came back here, although he was still burdened for the practice, you know, of the God-ordained way, of course, Brother Lee never left life. But he went on upwards and upwards on the matter of the truth. And he reaches the high peak of the divine revelation in the 90s, not that many years before he passed away. Since that time, brothers, in these 20 years, we have been stressing both truth and life in the conferences, in all the speaking. I think you can bear witness to that. But more or less, we have a strong emphasis on truth stronger emphasis compared to life, compared to the sort of the early days. And so, brothers, I'm maybe belaboring this, but I want to give you some context here. And that is what caused me to have this kind of a feeling that there's a deficit in the matter of life. And I don't mean the talk or the doctrine about life. I'm talking about the experience of life. And so when we touch the matter of vitalization in that first outline, we got stopped. And I said, let's forget about the rest of the outlines. Let's stay here. It was at that time that we began to have the idea to have this so-called family training. Now you see. Now let me say something about this family training as well so that you have the full picture. This kind of family training is something suggested by our brother as well. And we pass out some ministry that he said that. He used that term, family training, meaning that these are not, you know, once a year by semi-annual for 10 days. It's not that kind of training. It's local. It's family style. It is the training that we give to the saints on a regular basis in our respective localities. And he charged the elders to do that. This is not to ask some speaker or some co-worker. This is the elders have to bear the burden to regularly afford the saint this kind of training or perfecting in their local churches in order to edify and build up the saints and thereby build up the local churches. So he has spoken about this, and we go all the way back, and you will see that this began with Brother Nee, Brother Watchman Nee, the latest by 1948, in Cooling Training, he gave 52 lessons called the New Believers Series. New Believers Series. You know, today you still have those, it talks about, in the early days before the collected works of Brother Nee came out, we have this things printed by Stephen Kong's publishing house called CFP. The first book is called The Living Sacrifice. Do you know there's such a book? It's not published by Living Stream. It is published on the East Coast. And those are actually the 52 lessons. Something, there's one called Something Glory. Do all things to glory something, and then there's a few others. Huh? Yeah. Actually, originally, you see, Stephen Kong took great liberty in changing that names. Today, don't trust those titles put out by CFP. They are not the original Chinese. It's made up by him. This is not fair. This is not honest. Be that as it may, those were helpful, you know, especially to new believers. I still remember, I think up to today, that chapter on baptism is still popular, you know? Baptism, and then there's something called witnessing, you know? There's something called rising early, right? Still very useful, right? That is 1948. And then, brother, it's 52 lessons. Why? Because there are 52 weeks in a year. So Brother Nee actually devised or designed those lessons to exactly have one lesson per week so that in a local church, every week there is a lesson for the saints. You see this? And then you say, how about the 53rd week, which is week one of a new year? The point is you go through it again. And his point is, after 52 weeks, you should be ready to migrate. You learn all the things, right? And there's some chapters towards the end of this on marriage, yes. On seeking a mate. Yeah. Do you know this? Yeah. Looking for a mate. Husband and wives, yeah. Right? Yeah. That's Brother Nee. And so the New Believers sort of series was there. And the idea of having this kind of New Believers meeting started at that time. And Brother Lee, and I don't know how much that was practiced in China, but surely Brother Lee took that to try to practice that when he went to Taiwan. And in Taiwan, in the early 50s, because of the influx, sudden influx of tens of thousands of new believers in Taiwan, he actually produced his own set, which is not called the New Believers. It is today put out called Crucial Truth in the Holy Scriptures. Well, I have something to do with that. Because back in the 70s, Brother Lee charged me to have that whole thing translated into English. So actually I translated quite a bit of that. And also I divvy it out to different bilingual saints to translate. This is in the late 70s. Number one. So I'm very familiar with these 60 lessons. This is not 52, this is 60. The first, almost, 12 lessons or something, were created by Brother Lee, written or prepared by Brother Lee when he was still in northern China. The rest of the 60 lessons he finished in Taiwan. Altogether 60. And the other involvement I have is actually not me, but my wife. My wife was eventually the editor of that whole set. Under Sister Felisa Sun, do you know who this sister? Yeah. She's one of the editors. Under Sister Felisa, my wife Vicky she actually edited that whole set. So it's a husband and wife duel effort, you know. My point is, I'm very familiar with that. Those 60 lessons is different from Brother Ni's 52. That 52 lesson with Brother Ni is truly new believers. But this 60 lessons, mainly just on truth. You should go to the longest section of that is one of the longest lesson of the 60 is the kingdom. You can go there. And the kingdom truth has not changed that much. Even after Brother Lee came here, he spoke on the kingdom. Today you have a purple book called The Kingdom. I tell you, that truth didn't change that much. Brother Lee saw the kingdom because he was helped by what? By the brethren. Early on, he had the kingdom truth. And so, this, today you go to the back of this, you find a chart. You know there's a chart, this chart? The kingdom chart?
Yes. Matthew 5.
You know this chart. And that one actually have this six or seven circles on the dispensations.
Yeah, Matthew 5.
It's in Matthew, right. It's in Matthew 5. It's from there. Brother Lee early on already have that. And, you know, touches something on prophecy, the whole matter of the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom, appearance of the kingdom, the manifestation of the kingdom, and all the things concerning reward and punishment, and all of this. Actually, brothers, I tell you, this is tremendous. This matter of the truth of the kingdom, today almost no Christian, almost today, know that, or much less subscribe to that. We do. And by the way, even our brothers and sisters eventually need help on the kingdom. Because you will live differently. If you see the kingdom and know that there's a coming kingdom, you will live differently. Of course, in the life study of Matthew, this matter of the kingdom constitution and so on was really, really elaborated. Now, Brother Lee also practiced to train the saints with these truths. And these truths in those years, in the 50s, became exceedingly helpful. And I can cite one case, and the case is not Taiwan, but the Philippines. You know, in southern Philippines, you know, today it has the largest number of brothers and sisters. And those churches and those situations back in the 60s or maybe 70s, they were raised up, you know, by what? By these 60s lessons. Do you know this? You go to, you go there to Philippines, huh? You still use them, and they credit those churches, the raising up, and the kind of food to these 60s lessons. So of course, some of those are a little bit outdated. Some of those are a little bit outdated in the matter of the truth. Yeah. So, brothers, I'm giving you a little bit of a story here to tell you that's the kind of a history, you know. This is the kind of lineage regarding this kind of a local training on truth, on life, and on these matters. And in all these years, there have been a bit of a struggle. Just how do you do this? How does it fit into our church life? But in the early days in Eldon, in those revival years, I call them, these new believers meeting, we had new believers meeting every Lord's Day morning. Our table, Lord's table, is always in the evening. So we have a longer time in the morning, one for the new believers meeting and one for a message. You know, it's still one man giving a message in those days. That's one. And I must tell you that those new believers meetings in those Eldon years, they did not bring about the revival. But I can tell you, they helped to sustain that revival. And today, many brothers and sisters from that era got their basics from those years. The basic life matters from those years. And then, let me move on, because I need to give you this background. Then, we went on to what? We went on to the 70s. In the 70s, we have this big blow-up, right? This first major rebellion in the recovery. And after, in the aftermath of that rebellion, Brother Lee did his best to help the churches. And that's when he, what? He gave messages on truth, life messages, truth messages. You can find those books today. But on top of that, he gave these messages. Basic lessons on life, basic lessons on service, and I don't think there's a basic lesson on truth. He has truth messages. But, okay, this is, even as I'm recalling them, I find it very interesting, okay? So, and we were there, and I can testify to you again, subjectively, that these heal the churches. I'm only speaking about Southern California. Did you do anything up here? I don't know. We were healed by these messages. Brother Lee would gather us, some of us, young brothers together, leading brothers together, and every week he gave us one of these outlines, and he would speak to us. I still remember downstairs in Ball Road, we would be sitting him in that old elder's room, and he would just, I still can picture him right now sitting over there. I still remember some of his illustrations speaking to us, and we would take that fellowship and go back and do weekly training using these lessons. I taught all of these in Costa Mesa. I did. And as the one who spoke and ministered, I got the most help. I don't know what the people got. I got the most help. So I am not just study these things. I minister these things. I did the training myself, and I realized the benefit of these things. All right? So that is another, I should say, another round. Now let's come to the 80s. 80s, he went back to Taiwan. Of course, there's door knocking, there's gospel preaching. But do you know, during that time, because in anticipation of the new ones being brought in, he did what? Number one, truth lessons. Do you know the truth lessons set? That is Brother Lee's another attempt to, this is not the 60 lessons. This is truth lessons. I don't know how many volumes, how many books now on the truth lessons. Of course, he didn't do many of them. Someone assembled from his ministry. In fact, the one who mainly helped him today is one of the rebellious ones who follow Titus Chu. He's still following him, the main editor of the truth lessons. I won't tell you the name. Okay, then let me tell you, not only so, he prepared the life lessons, those four volumes. Let me tell you, brothers, those four volumes are excellent. You know why? Because I translated them. They were spoken in Chinese, prepared in Chinese. And part of my time in Taiwan in those days, besides teaching in the FTTT and this and that, I was sitting in Hall 1 upstairs translating this book. All right? I translated that, and at the same time, I translated the book today called Character, the book on character. Right, I translated that. Now, brothers, that was a sign to show you that this need of this kind of basic training in life and truth is something, what? Constant, never ending. There's always new ones among us. There's always the need to what? To equip and perfect the saints in these matters. It's constant. So I'm giving you just a little bit. Now, I know here and there Brother Lee said this. He said he's not for a new believers meeting. In fact, he He said, why are you still doing New Believers Meeting? He said, you should be getting into the life studies. He said this. But I'm very concerned that we gave up the life studies. The New Believers Meeting. And we didn't even help the saints into the life studies. Eventually, the saints have nothing. Until we started the Holy Word for Morning Revival. The Holy Word for Morning Revival started when Brother Lee was still alive. To what? To as a kind of a digestion of recent conferences and trainings. And it soon became the main staple of the churches, the main food that we all eat, until today. And I have to give that Holy Word a lot of credit. Don't you agree? That Holy Word is what even in some ways held the recovery together so that every saint can be under the ministry's help. So this is a great, great thing. Great, great thing. But again, what is my observation? My observation, my brothers, is that while we're eating that food, while we're going to the trainings, while we're still having this wonderful ministry in our midst today, I observe that there is a general shortage and deficit in the basic things of life and truth. I don't know, do you see this among your saints? It's like boxing, huh? Boxing. I don't box, so I don't know what's boxing. But I know, at least just like many other sports, they spend so much time, these boxers, to train on what? On the basic moves, not fancy moves, basic moves. And in the end, it is those basic moves that help you to win the match. You know, even the Chinese Kung Fu, they have these fancy moves. Let me tell you, those fancy moves, you can win. You can kill anybody with fancy moves. I tell you, it's the basic moves that can kill you. So I'm talking, brothers, about the basics. I feel today there is a general lack of the basics or even a kind of departure from the basics so that you look, why is that saying like this? Why these ones cannot go on? Why these ones have perpetual problems? Why the brothers and sisters, no matter what you say, they cannot be vital. Why? Try as we may. Then I begin to realize on some basic matters, they are short. Just take, for example, what we spend quite a bit of time in June and May on the matter of what? Repentance and confession. Just on this matter. Just on this matter. Dear brothers, without this thorough and complete confession and repentance, forget about vitality. In fact, forget about everything in the spiritual realm. That's where it begins. You know, repent for the kingdom. The first thing in the realm of God that will cause you to enter into the kingdom is repentance. And repentance has to do with confession. I don't want to say too much, brothers, but let me just say this. There's a case, okay? I don't tell you where, I don't tell you what, but there's a case of a couple married for many years with children. And then something happened. Something happened. There's a kind of a failure. Then, I don't want to talk about the case, this and that, but I can tell you this much, that in the course of helping that situation through fellowship, this and that, you realize, oh my goodness, my goodness. It's not some high peak deficit here. Do you follow me? They're not short of high peak. You know what they're short of? Repentance and dealing with the conscience. And these are saints who have been in the church life. They're not outside. They're in the church life. Do you follow me? We cannot take for granted that all the saints, as long as they're sitting there on Sunday morning dressed up, they're okay. You don't know what is going on behind. You don't know the daily life, the family life, the marriage life, and so many other things. Brothers, for this reason, we are stuck here. But I don't think we're stuck. I think the Lord is leading us not to take the easy way, not to build a house on the sand. Do you follow me? But to really build or relay an adequate foundation. So, this matter, and I rehearse this history with you to prove again that this need is constant and present. Constant and present. And brothers, therefore, this kind of training or whatever word you want to ascribe to it has to be part of our regular church life. Amen. This is not an appendix. This is not like something we do, then we don't need to do it. This is a constant. Even older saints needs refresher. Am I right? I don't know about you. When I get into this, I got shined on again. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, I left this. Or you see? This is not so fresh to me. I don't care where we are. We need these things. And not to mention the new ones and the younger ones. If we want to build them up into saints that can serve the Lord and can be useful in the church life, they have to have these basic things down for their what? For the lifelong benefit. So I don't care whether you're in Germany, you're in France, I don't care where you are, eventually you will need this. Otherwise, the church is hollow. Or not hollow. It's not. It's wobbly. Is that the word? Wobbly. It's not solid. Okay. All right. Now, I speak this almost in a way to convince you to take this matter very seriously. And this is why we even suggest on Lord's Day, you may need to adjust your meeting time and hours to give due attention to this matter. The Lord's table, or however you do it in your particular situation, but the Lord's table, am I right? And then the prophesying time to speak the word of God. And then always something to help the saints in life, which is what we're in. And then in truth. And eventually, maybe in service, something as a regular help to the saints. All right? Okay, brothers, did you get it? All right. Now, we come to this, and I stressed this the last two times already, that this, because it is important, requires at least some brothers to really labor in the Word and in their own experience so that they can really what? Train the saints so that they can really render help to the saints. And I know there are many other things going on in the church life that we have to tend to, but But at least some brothers have to really give their heart to this matter and not to just give a message, you know, and done, you know. Just give them a message. No. But to really see it through, that this matter would become the experience of the saints. That's labor, right? That's labor. And so I hope that this kind of earnestness or this kind of seriousness would be in our attitude, brothers, so we can do a good job with this. All right. Now, what you have in your hand today are three lessons for the month of August. But I want to make a change already now. We will not use the third lesson. It's good to keep it, huh? Have it there, because it's one of the lessons in this book. But I like to substitute, and we'll get it to you, don't worry. In fact, it's already here. In fact, Don, I think you can help to prepare lesson two. It's that outline here called The Fellowship of Life. The first lesson in August will still be this one on caring for the feeling of our conscience, somewhat what? Dovetailing to June. Okay? Then we will add a lesson called The Fellowship of Life. Very basic. Using the outline in this book, it's all there already, and you can pull some excerpts out, and that's it. That's it. And then the third lesson will be on the sense of life. Will be on the sense of life. Okay? And then we will not have to cover lesson three, because then on the fourth week, you will have a review, right, with the saints. I think that's what most churches are doing. Okay. All right, now I'm not going to be here going through these lessons with you, because many of you are familiar with the things, and you have to study and get into the things yourself. But I'd like to just highlight this. Why are we having these three lessons? You need to know why, then you know what's the point. Okay. These three lessons all touches the matter of feeling and sense. All right. Now you say, what about the fellowship of life? Well, that itself is not on feeling, but you will see that the sense of life is for the maintenance of the fellowship of life. All right? So we have a whole lesson on what is the fellowship of life. Today, brothers, we, on the one hand, we don't pay attention to feelings. We are people of faith, right? We say what? Faith doesn't follow feeling, but feeling should follow faith, right? We say that, correct? That's only one way of looking at it. But let me tell you, brothers, today, our Christian life has too much to do with feeling. And caring for certain feelings. And all the saints, for their spiritual walk and for their Christian life, must be brought to know those feelings, that feeling. You know, I spoke message 5 on leprosy, you know, recently over there in Anaheim. Then I did a little study on leprosy, the disease. You know what one of the problems of leprosy? You know why some of them have no limbs, and there's a shrinkage of tissues, and that happened. But one of the main thing is the nerves. The peripheral nerves don't work in a leper for whatever reason. And so the skin or the outward have no feeling. So they can put their hand on the fire, they have no feeling. So their hand got all burned up, and they don't feel a thing. Or they put their hand in the socket, they go, oh, well, that's not a good. Or they got cut, you know, they got cut, they have no feeling. Every life in God's creation has feeling. In fact, feeling is what defines life. And the higher the life, the keener the feeling. And so, even there's some trees, the leaves, you touch it, it close up. When I was young, I loved to play with those trees. You touch, just grow. Okay, so even plants have feelings. But that feeling is just, I don't know what kind of feeling is that. But human beings, we have much, much more feeling. And it's not just physical feeling. We have psychological feeling. We have all kinds of feeling. And God's life, God himself, can you imagine what feeling that God has? And so don't say life has no feeling. It's just all about faith. It is about faith in terms of our believing in the Lord and in his word and in his work. But I will tell you, in terms of experiencing Christ, experiencing the divine life for our organic salvation, I tell you, it has too much to do with knowing the feeling of that life. But the place to begin is the conscience. Actually, this matter of the feeling of the conscience, even unbelievers have feeling. Do you know that? Yeah. You don't need to be saved. But if you're sort of a good man, you, right? How does the conscience work? Let me ask you. Or how do you know you have a conscience? How? It's totally feeling. A feeling of what? Feeling of condemnation. Right? Feeling of, because there's an offense. So there is some self, something there, or the feeling of protest. I think that's a good word. Something that would give you very bad sense that you're wrong or that you're bad. Right? Even if you're not saved, you have the feeling. And that feeling is something built in when God created man with a human spirit. And that human spirit is the breath of God. It is not God, but it is very close to God. It is his breath. And so that conscience is a built-in mechanism in man for man's preservation. For man's minimal preservation, at least, brothers, in the matter of morality. This is nothing to do with organic salvation, becoming like God. No. You're just unsaved. But even to preserve your vessel, you must take care of your conscience. Through its feeling, heeding the feeling. So, why would you regret when you lie or you did something bad? You know, that sense of sorrow, that sense of remorse, sense. Where did it come from? Did you make it up? No. It's automatic in your conscience. You know, man, I'm being too much here, okay? You can see I love to talk about these things because I teach these things. I love to teach these things. Sometimes I love to teach these more than the high peak. Because it's really where the rubber meets the road, you know. You can put up the high peak as a mask. As a mask. But actually inside, you are not dealing with your conscience. I still remember Brother Lee talk about when he was with the Newtonian brethren. There was a very good brethren teacher. He sat under his feet for 8 years and learned all the types. And Brother Lee knew these things more than Brother Mee in typology, in prophecy, and these things, almost. But he would be dragging his pipe and then interpreting the best typology, you know. So you can have the high peak and still be smoking. God became man. And man became God. I may be exaggerating, but I think I'm getting my point across. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's my concern. That's my concern. Okay, so it began with man being built with the conscience, with certain feeling. And that feeling, actually, it's God's represented in the fallen man. God has a representative in the fallen man, and that is man's conscience, to at least give him some feeling to keep him from utter lawlessness. And those who heed the feeling were kept to some degree. So today you have unsaved people living a moral life because they heed their conscience, at least. And so they're preserved to some degree. But what is the sign of the world? And that is what? Being alienated from the life of God, they what? They cast off what? Huh? All feeling, is that in Ephesians 4? Well, I don't need to, you know that verse. And the important thing is, it says they're being past feeling, giving themselves over to lasciviousness, to uncleanness, greediness, and that is the description of an immoral society. Totally immoral. By what? By not heeding the conscience and by passing by the feeling. Feeling, brothers, feeling. We need to help the saints to know this feeling and to heed this feeling. Now, after men fell, man is supposed to be what? Ruled by his conscience. But that failed. So enter in what? The human government. And that failed. And man descended into lawlessness. And in God's salvation, it starts with what? He is going back the other way. God's salvation is to reverse that fall. So the first thing is man should come back to human government, and then man should come back to being ruled by his what? Conscience. But that is not the end. Eventually, man is supposed to be under God's direct rule. And this is where the sense of life comes in. And later on, we'll cover the anointing. All right? Now, I don't know how you're going to help the saints in all these things because it's not in the outline. But brothers and sisters, in the home meetings, in the fellowship, you have to enlighten the saints. Why are we talking about these things? They are too crucial. That has to eventually have to do with God's kingdom, his rule, his various dispensations. In other words, his way of dealing with man and administrating the human society. So, brothers, this has to do with man's recovery. Now, we're saved. We not only have the mechanism of the conscience, but brothers, what happened? You all know this. Now, the Spirit of God, which is God himself, has come into our spirit where our conscience is, and mingle with our spirit. Now our spirit has God. Now our spirit is enlivened with the life of God. Now our conscience is made alive. Am I right? And so Paul can say, my conscience bear witness with the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, it says, the Spirit witness with my spirit. But now in Romans, I think, 12, it says, my conscience bear witness with the Spirit. That tells us this conscience is part of the Spirit. And how important it is for us in order to be right with God, to have what? A life with God, a spiritual walk. We have to begin with what? Our regenerated conscience. And now, this conscience doesn't have just a bare minimum kind of a feeling, like an unsaved person. Now, it is God himself that have come in. And so, our conscience today is that much more what? Sensitive. That much more keen. So, not only towards sin, not only towards the world, but towards many, many other unspoken things, our conscience that has been made alive have feeling about it. We have to help the saints to what? To know that feeling and to take care of that feeling. And usually that feeling is stirred up in the way of condemning us. You know that verse in 1 John, if our heart does not condemn us, that refers to the conscience condemning us, which is actually God condemning us. Today, even Paul, the great apostle, when it comes to moral behavior, he spoke about how he what? Live and behave by all good conscience before God and man. This is about morality. This is about right and wrong. And our brothers and sisters, we're not here to make them good men and good ladies. But brothers, at a minimum, our moral life. You know, the Christian life is the life of the highest morality. The key is to heed the conscience. We need to help the saints to sensitize. I think a lot of conscience over time have been desensitized. Because what? Because what? We suppress that feeling. We push aside that feeling. We don't confess. We don't deal with that feeling. So that our conscience eventually become what? Unfeeling. Our conscience become, even in the word of, in the book of Timothy, what? Seared. Seared. And I think we have a lesson on these things. So Paul says we should have a pure conscience. We should have a what? Good conscience. I serve the Lord in a pure conscience and this and that. Brothers, okay, it seems I'm speaking things that we all know, but I am not sure. I don't think we can take these things for granted, that all the saints are okay. All the saints are okay. The conscience. And this is not just for our young people. You know, I know young people, you know, listen to your conscience. Even our children, you know, listen to your conscience. No, no. Older saints, listen to your conscience. And the more life grows here, it says, this feeling of the conscience will increase as life grows, right? And if we deal with the feeling of this conscience, our growth in life will increase. This has everything to do with our growth. Today, a lot of saints are not growing. They're stuck in a certain place. And you have to check, is there some lack in the dealing with their conscience on certain matters. It may be sin. it may be the world, it may be some other matters that the conscience has been protesting, giving them the feeling, but they brush it aside or they suppress it. They didn't deal with it. And so their growth in life, what? Halted. They don't grow anymore because of this. All right, now, time. We will touch the fellowship of life next. And if you have this book, it's all in here. I won't get into it. About the fellowship. Like, you don't have it in your paper. It talks about what that fellowship of life. But at the end of this chapter on the fellowship lesson on the fellowship of life, it talks about the relationship between the fellowship of life and the sense of life. And listen to this. The fellowship of life is realized by the sense of life. How do you know, brothers? Let me arrest you right now. Andrew, how do you know you are now in the fellowship of life, in that flow of life, in that fellowship with God? How do you know? Yeah. In other words, by a sense, by a certain sense. Without that sense, actually, you don't know, because this is invisible. How do you know you're in life? How do you know you're touching life? How do you know you're experiencing God, Christ as life right now? How do you know? Thank the Lord, by a sense. Am I right? Okay, let me go on. The sense of life preserves the fellowship of life. That means when that life is that fellowship is broken because of sin, because of wrongdoing, because of a certain offense, because of what? The alarm goes off. The alarm goes off. And if the alarm doesn't go off, you don't even know. Right now you're detached from God. You're cut off from God. You don't even know it. But that feeling, that sense of life in your spirit tells you what? You're off. And it says here, the breaking of the fellowship of life is by sins, by disobedience, by not caring for the sense of life, etc., etc. And the restoration of the fellowship of life is by confessing the sins and cleansing of the blood. Now, the point is this. If you don't know that feeling, that sense of life, you don't even know it's time to confess. You know, I'm very concerned. Some saints among us walking around, they can go through the church life without confession. They don't need to. It's not that they don't need to. They have no more feeling. They have no more sense. They lost the sense. Now, of course, the positive sense of life we will cover, that you have with you here, is what? We all know these things, right? What is it? Strength, am I right? What? Satisfaction, right? Peace, right? Rest, release, liveliness, watering, brightness, comfort on the positive side. Those are feeling. And when you have those feeling within, and I think we all know this, that's life and peace. And we know I'm okay. I'm in good fellowship with the Lord. The fellowship of life is flowing. The divine traffic is going on. The feeling tells you that. Or you have another kind of feeling. That is as important. Don't say those are negative. Actually, they will save you. It's weakness, emptiness, darkness, depression, dryness, darkness, pain. You know those feelings. And those feelings tells you, man, you're off. The fellowship is broken. The alarm is sounding. Nah, 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 nah. Okay? You better do something now. You better check what sin did you commit What world did you love? Who did you offend? Where did you do something wrong? This and that. Aha, that feeling becomes a preservation. You will deal with the Lord. You will confess your sin. You will do this until the other feeling returns. Now you're back into the fellowship with the Lord. Dear brothers, this is our daily Christian life, every day. So, saints, I am preaching to the choir a little bit, but I cannot take things for granted anymore. I just don't take things for granted anymore. And one more thing. The as we grow in the Lord in life, this feeling becomes more acute, both positively and negatively, stronger, keener. Before you do something, it took 2 days for you to feel bad. Now you do the same thing, instantly you feel smitten, right? You feel condemned, or you feel dead, you feel dry, you feel dark. You right away you realize, then you turn and you deal with these things according to that feeling. So help the saints, brothers, to know, number one, the feeling of the conscience, to deal with the conscience, to make our conscience so sensitive. That is on the behavioral side, on the moral side. And don't say that is not important. And help the saints to know this inner sense of life. That is not just for moral behavior. That is for our fellowship with God. Amen. For our enjoyment of the Lord. For our receiving the divine supply from Him. And for us to remain in the divine dispensing. We tell the young people, right? What is to exercise the Spirit? Exercise the Spirit is not just to call on the Lord, not just to shout, not just to tell Jesus, I love you. I tell you, to exercise the Spirit is to exercise your conscience. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think this is good enough for these three lessons. This is for August. Then you say, what about September? Xu Ming reminded us of something. I like it. So the conscience is to help us to have a moral and right behavior according to God. All right? You follow me. The sense of life is to help us to participate in God's life and God's nature. But there's another thing even further, and this is what will bring us to God's direct rule. And in August, maybe, we'll see, we'll cover the anointing. The anointing is a huge, big one. Again, with feeling, because that is the movement of the Holy Spirit within us to teach and also to what? To dispense. So, and it is by the anointing that we will know the person of God Himself. Amen. His mind, His feeling directly. His person, we know that by the anointing. It is by these feelings that we come to know the Lord and to grow in life. I hope you all get it. Okay, brothers? Now, let me repeat this. I learned from Brother Lee, he is the greatest repeater because we don't get it. It's by the sixth repetition we begin to get it. Brothers, it's not just Sunday morning for 40 minutes. Don't trust that. That is just the opening of the subject, the opening of the burden of the lesson. In your preparation and in your care for the church, you have to pray for the saints. You really have to pray for the brothers and sisters to see this and also to practice these things. You have to pray, okay, that they will be interested in these things, right? They will pursue these things. Then number two, in some churches we heard, they use their home meetings or what do you call it? Small group meetings to fellowship these things in a mutual way, not one man preaching, but to fellowship these things. I'm not telling you to do this. There's no instruction here. But I think that is a very wonderful idea, a very wonderful idea. And number three, brothers, when the opportunity avails, brothers, help the believers one by one. You cannot do this with every saint, but there's some saints under your shepherding. You can take advantage of this to help them here and there. Brothers, this is follow-up. Okay. Now, these lessons keep moving on, so we cannot dwell in one thing for too long. It's okay. We go through a cycle in some future time. They will go through it again, and we re-impress, and they would go deeper, so don't worry about that. We need to keep moving on. All right? All right. There's still about 7 or 8 minutes. I'd like to ask you, brothers, if you have any questions for me in terms of the material and in terms of how to carry out this.
If there's any need when we're discussing some of the conscience, if there's any room to educate the saints on different things of the conscience. I feel like for many of the brothers here, we have, you know, when we go before the Lord, we could be touched by many things concerning the world, the flesh, sin, death, you know, natural life. But I feel like many of the new believers and many even the saints among us, we haven't even done a good job of even, you know, there's no sense of something is worldly, or something is sinful, or something's natural, or something's from the self. And so maybe their own dealing is a little bit, you know, they don't know what to deal with.
Got it. It's a very, very good point. Actually, this is not a small point. You know, we live in a society that the whole society is being constantly desensitized. Today, they're trying to get rid of the word sin from the dictionary. There's no such thing as sin. You just have a failure. You were just weak. You made a mistake. There's no sin. None of us can be holier than thou. You know, this is called morality is what you believe is moral. There's no absolute morality. Everything is relative. In fact, somebody believe in amoralism. So today, we need to actually help the saints who are under this kind of cloud, especially young people, even to establish morality according to the divine standard. So in some cases, you have to, maybe, I don't know whether in the lessons, but for sure in certain private situation, you have to bring it out and not to take that for granted. I think today, actually, many saints are not clear what is sin. In the churches. You ask them, what is sin? Well. Needless to say, they don't know what is the flesh. You know, these lessons actually is in the same, in the book Experience of Life, is I think after or before the dealing with sin, the dealing with the world, the dealing with the flesh. I forgot which stage are these things. Huh? I don't remember. You go check the book. But the point is, we have to even get down to that level. You know, what is, you know, I did not have time in my message 5 in the Leviticus. I actually have a real burden for this matter of lawlessness. You know, the word is not just sin, the man of sin, but also the man of lawlessness. Lawlessness, which means really rebellion, no law, absence of law. And even today, people say, oh, forget the old commandments, we're in the spirit. What? Forget the Ten Commandments? From a law-keeping standpoint, yes. From a dispensational standpoint, yes. But today you throw out the Ten Commandments? The kingdom constitution is higher than the Old Testament law. The moral side, not the ceremonial side, the moral side. The saints are confused. Yes, we don't keep the Sabbath. Yes, we don't burn physical offerings, right? We don't burn physical incense. But today, the moral law given by Christ is much higher than the law of the Old Testament. Because that is a picture, and Christ is the reality. So, goodness, right? This kind of help, it has to be so almost, we have to start with the base. Maybe not all the saints, but with some saints. We cannot get these things take this for granted. You know, plus today with all these other more evil things. You know what I'm talking about, more evil things? All these alternative lifestyle, all this, what? Perversion. Perversion. Perverted. The world, right, today is in this perverted generation, this adulterous generation. Brothers, and all this is to desensitize us so that even we're dull. We wouldn't say even no feeling, but we're dull in our senses. We don't think it's a big deal. When actually in God's eye, it is most serious, it is vile. Vile. It is dirty. It is whatever the word you want to use. But we got so desensitized. Well, no big deal. This is just a little weakness here or a little whatever. So that's why even I stress conscience, because it touches morality. And morality is where it begins. God is not after us just being moral, but God does have the highest morality in the person of Christ. So these matters, these such basic matters, we need to give the saints some help. Now, I don't mean you spend a whole message talking, but in certain right environment, you need to educate, especially the younger generation today. Today, actually, even some parents are not clear about these things. They even don't know how to set standards for their children because they have been compromised in their understanding of what the moral standard is, especially the Lord's moral standard is. So they compromised already. And so the children is kind of, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then it just goes downhill from there. It's a very, very important point. What is sin? What is the world? What is the flesh? And eventually, even what is the natural man? What is the, you know, and so on and so forth. Yeah, back there.
When trying to balance, helping the saints to try to balance between the encouraging conviction versus the discouraging condemnation and introspection there seems to be, we had talked about in one of the first sessions that we want the family training to be encouraging. We don't want it to be a burden upon the saints. But when talking about the feeling of the conscience and knowing the sense of the conscience, there seems to be, and at least in our home meeting, there seems to be a tendency to shy away from that kind of any negative feeling, and there's a default to just being, you know, just enjoy the Lord, just enjoy the
exactly,
Lord.
Exactly, you see, right there. Today it is very easy for us to, in the name of enjoying the Lord, release the Spirit, actually push aside the necessary dealing because we don't want to be negative. Brothers, this is not about negative or positive. This is about life and death. So you just go, I don't have time, you just go and read like the book Experience of Life is Fun. It's really one of the greatest on this matter, on the dealing of the conscience, in fact, just on that lesson. How actually for a proper Christian to pursue growth in life, they would actually go through a stage of severe condemnation. But you cannot stay there, of course. You have to eventually come out. And you, even Brother Lee talked about this. He would deal with the conscience so severely and even in an extreme way that even he got a very weak conscience. Every little thing, he feels condemned. But that's not right or wrong. But because of that extensive dealing, his conscience is very, very sensitive. All right? Now, for a younger person and even for us, there is the propensity or the certainly the possibility of entering into a self-introspective mode. Okay? It's possible. And it happens. But we should not touch this matter because of that risk. I would submit that no Christian can really grow, you know, in this path of life without going through introspection. I'm not encouraging it. I'm not promoting it. But it's almost a necessary part of the journey. Now, then the other side, very important, and that is, well, the first thing is don't consider this as negative. Like this is, I just want to, it's all about today, it's all about feel good. Like feel good is everything. Feel good, then I'm healthy. Actually, when you're feeling good, you're dying. You just injected yourself with heroin. You really feel good. You're killing yourself. Do you follow me? And to go through a withdrawal is painful. But that will save your life. So we should not look at this like feel good, okay? Now, the other side, of course, is very important. It's in here. And that is we need to help the saints to know the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Of course. Okay? In fact, as I talk about this, I think maybe in September we cannot go to the anointing yet. We need to cover the blood first. Because actually the blood has to do with the anointing. First the blood and then the ointment. So we need to help the saints to confess. We also need to help them to claim the blood. And also we need to help them to discern between accusation from the accuser and condemnation from God. Amen. Condemnation is healthy. Amen. Accusation is satanic. Amen. And I know saints sometimes get muddied up. They don't know if condemnation becomes accusation. And so you need to help them. Generally, when God condemning you through your conscience is on something quite specific. Satan, when he accuses you, it's a cloudy thing. You just feel you're bad, you generally fail, you're generally no good. That is from Satan. But God is specific, like he spotlights on a particular sin, a particular, you know what I mean, offense, right? Then we need to help the saints. How far do you deal with your your conscience. You deal with your conscience until the offense is no longer there by confession, and that there is this sense of life and peace within you. Now, life and peace doesn't mean you're jumping up and down. Right? Life and peace means that inward sense of no condemnation. Subjective, right? There are a lot of these things we used to talk a lot about. Yeah. Brothers, we really talk a lot about. So we know these things and we know how to go on with the Lord. But today I think many saints are ill-equipped and they are not, they don't have the tools to deal with these necessary dealings. And so they're stuck in their growth in life. And we need to help them. We need to help them.
Is there a side you would err? I mean, I know it's case by case, but one side is I'm afraid to, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to damage anyone. I don't want to offend anybody. But it's at the risk of not helping somebody to your full capacity. Or
so when we present a lesson like Lord's Day morning, obviously we have to do this in a more general way, right? Don't you shouldn't get into something too much. It may stumble people, it may cause confuse people, it may discourage people, right? So we trust the Holy Spirit's work to follow the word. I'm more talking about individual care, shepherding, or in small group situation to really address something that need to be addressed. That's more where I come from. This is why we need to have that kind of follow-up. Not the Lord's Day just open up the matter, then we need to do a lot of follow-up. And brothers, let me tell you, this kind of labor is not in vain. Just general help, just general. You can even have a saint that can give a good prophecy. Actually, he's in sin. Yes. Not only in sin, in perpetual sin. Possible, I'm just saying. All right? So also, brothers, one more thing. We have to help the saints on the matter of confession. There should be boundaries, okay? We should not have public confession. There's a certain time that public confession is called for, but especially sin of the moral kind should not be publicly confessed. It will damage the person, that will damage the victim, it will damage the church.
Amen.
All right? So we have to be very, very careful. We confess only to the degree of our offense. All right, so I hope we know some of these basic principles in our care for the church. Okay? I hope I'm not wasting your time. I hope this is good. Okay, let's have a break now until how about 11 o'clock we come back. Amen.